You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast. Hello and welcome to this CNBC TV 18 special podcast. I am Alisha Sajdev and today we're talking about a pivotal moment that India's restaurant fraternity is creating. It is called #OrderDirect. Now, the campaign behind the hashtag is essentially to urge customers to order food delivery from a restaurant directly instead of placing an order through a food aggregator app like Zomato and Swiggy. Now, the NRAI, which is a nationwide body of lakhs of restaurants, is calling this move a step against, I quote, the tyranny of the food industry's digital overlords. Now, but what is the problem really? How do restaurants benefit from direct orders? What are their specific problems with aggregator apps? And for foodies, customers, what does all of this eventually translate into? I spoke to Riaz Amlani, MD and CEO of Impresario Handmade Restaurants, which operates very popular formats like Social, Saltwater Cafe and Smokehouse Delis. Riaz is also a former president of NRAI and is currently really spearheading this campaign to make restaurants more independent in the food delivery arena. Listen in to this conversation where I began by asking him what is the one message or appeal that he has for customers when it comes to Order Direct.
Well, thank you, Alisha, for having me on your show. My appeal to the customers, first and foremost, is to stay safe wherever they are, to follow social distancing protocols and mask up every time they go out. It's really a terrible time. We're seeing this firsthand. But from a restaurateur's perspective, it is a really, really hard time for restaurants. We had just begun to open up when the second wave hit us, and we were completely caught off guard by it. A lot of restaurateurs have taken loans just to reopen from the first wave, and they are really going through a hard time. So my appeal really would be that support your local restaurant. Try and order from your local neighborhood restaurant as much as you can, as often as you can, and please order directly if you can. If that is possible, because that would really, really help the restaurant.
Okay. So, as I was saying, Riaz, at this time, you have sort of embarked on an elaborate social media campaign along with the NRAI. We see restaurateurs really advocate for Order Direct. So, at this time, what are your major concerns with aggregators platforms like Zomato and Swiggy? For the longest time, patrons have been finding you, so to say, through these platforms or ordering through these platforms. At this time, what would you say, are the few things that customers need to know? And how are restaurants, getting the short end of the stick if customers do not order directly?
So we have a numerous amount of issues with aggregators. First of all, let me tell you that we are not against aggregators. We are against the tyranny of aggregators, which means that they have a complete stranglehold on the restaurant customer base. What they engage in is something which they call data masking, which means that a restaurateur does not know who the food is going to actually. Restaurants have always been about relationships. We always call our customers guests because that is the essence of hospitality. We love developing direct relationships with our guests. However, the aggregators have been recently putting an iron curtain between our customers and our guests and us. We don't know who we are selling our food to. We get an order number and with the order details and that's it. We don't know who the food is going to from there. So I think that is a pretty unethical business practice, right? We have the right to know who our customers are. We have the right to know what they think of the food. We have the right to know, learn from them how our products could be better, what changes they would like, what suggestions they would have. So data masking, first and foremost, is a big concern to us. Secondly, there's this need of arbitrarily changing terms and conditions whenever they feel like, and they do that unilaterally. And the choice is either you accept the term and condition or you're booted out of the platform. Thirdly, the commissions and the charges that are being charged are very, very high. So a restaurateur lands up paying about up to 40% of their top line just on aggregator platforms. So this includes commissions, this includes discounts that we are forced to offer, this includes discovery and marketing charges and fees on those platforms. So there are these huge costs. So every time somebody uses an aggregator app to order from a restaurant, the restaurant actually lands up losing money and not making money. And it is for this very reason we are encouraging our restaurateurs to build customer-facing stack, technology stacks, to be able to make the customer's experience seamless. Because a lot of customers don't enjoy talking on the phone, you know, having to repeat the address, having to talking about, you know, you re-give your name, your number, your gully, your building, right? I mean, the tech, to the credit of the aggregators, they've actually made the experience of ordering very seamless. So the customers now want that seamless experience. So we are helping our restaurant friends build out this same technology for ordering. So if, for example, you love ordering from social, then you could use the social platform to order, and your experience will be exactly the same, if not better, than ordering on an aggregator platform. So that is what we are trying to achieve. We are trying to get off our dependency on aggregator platforms. We're trying to educate customers that they can support local restaurants by ordering direct. And we're trying to make the experience even better for the customers.
Right. Riyaz, it's interesting that you brought up the customer point of view here, because like you rightly said, customers are very used to the convenience of these aggregator platforms. They're able to track their orders. They have multiple options at their disposal, you know. Discounts also being a key part of this. So considering that customers are very used to these advantages that platforms order, and of course you are building up capabilities, you know, for restaurants also at this point in time, it might take some time to ramp up. Given that you already have the campaign going by, you know, there's word of mouth, there's social media, are you seeing some early traction already in terms of how many customers are coming to, you know, the restaurant, or, you know, looking up the restaurant and ordering directly?
So, Alicia, we don't have, we've not conducted a formal survey on this yet. But anecdotally, I can tell you from my experience and speaking to 2-3 other restaurateurs, in the last week, we have seen the percentage of direct delivery go up from 5% to about 22%. So that's almost a 4.5 x growth in just about 10 days.
And is this across your brand?
This is across our brand and across cities. I mean, we are very, very pleased that the customers are listening to us, and, you know, they're really taking the effort to order direct, because I know how hard it is to break an habit. The incumbents have spent billions and 5 years to try and make this happen. It will take a little time, but we are actually pretty surprised and pleasantly taken aback by the response of our customers, for which we are eternally grateful.
Right. So, Riyaz, absolutely, if there was one time to really go big on, you know, accelerating this change, it is perhaps now, because all of your business as a restaurant industry is dependent on deliveries. How well are you able to work with these aggregator platforms too? Because these are tough times, and some of the commissions and the unilateral decisions that you mentioned, changes in terms and conditions, etc., which keep on happening. Have you seen that there is wiggle room, or at least some sort of, you know, willingness to perhaps talk about these changes and making them more restaurant friendly, given the challenges that the sector faces right now?
Look, we are in communication with the leaderships in different aggregator platforms, right? And different aggregators approach it differently. Some are more willing to chat and some are less. However, it is our job as the voice of the restaurant industry to continue pushing for positive change. We believe that aggregators can contribute tremendously to a restaurant. Right. They already have. They have actually helped increase the delivery business. They've actually made ordering in a lot more accessible. They've increased the frequency of it, no doubt. But you almost get a sense that they're sitting on the branch that they're sawing off. So while aggregators have been very good in increasing the number of transactions, it has been very poor in increasing profitability for restaurants. So every time you order from a restaurant on an aggregator app, the restaurant loses money. The delivery partners lose money. So effectively, it's a zero-sum game. But what is happening is that transactions are going up. So while it is good for restaurants, it's not good for the restaurant, right? And that's a very subtle difference.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so while orders may be going up, nobody is making money. And and it is, you know, you mentioned that your customers are used to discounts, and we fully appreciate that. Like, a restaurant gives out a discount so that a customer can discover the restaurant. A restaurant will first time say, hey, listen, here's my food at cost. Please try us. If you like us, come back. Right? That is what a restaurant is hoping to achieve by giving deep discounts. He's hoping to get discovered. Right? He's hoping that a customer enjoys the meal and then comes back and becomes a regular. The way the aggregators are set up currently, they don't care about the relationship. They care about driving transactions. Mm-hmm. Right? And they want to drive transactions at any cost. I mean, that is what perhaps suits them right now. This kind of mentality is not working for the restaurant, because a restaurateur can't keep losing money every time he does it. Mm-hmm. So while we are giving away 40% of our top line to the aggregators on a direct delivery platform, we want to share that with our customers. So you will find a better price on our aggregate on our order direct platforms than on the aggregators. And still, there will be some room for restaurateurs to make a little bit of money.
All right. Yeah, that's important. That's actually key. So you're saying that notwithstanding the discounts that actually one gets on aggregator platforms, if a customer was to order directly from the restaurant they like, they will still be getting a better price for whatever they order.
They will still be getting a better price. Absolutely. The order direct will only work if the customer gets a best price guarantee from the restaurant that they're ordering. And that's exactly what we want to do. We want to give our customers a best price guarantee. And we want our customers to benefit also, as well as we want us to benefit. We just want the power and the control over this ecosystem of a third party to reduce.
Sure, fair enough. That makes sense. Riyaz, so you were also mentioning that your, you know, the value of the typical order that you receive, you know, when customers order directly has also increased vis-a-vis when they order, you know, via a platform. Can you tell me what might be driving that up when that happens, and what is the extent of the increase that you're also observing?
So we've always seen that when a customer orders directly from us, the average order value is about 2.5 times of what we get on aggregator platforms. And this is not something new. This is something that we've seen right from the beginning. And I think one of the reasons for that is that, again, the aim of the aggregators is to drive transactions at any cost. So, you know, they will keep trying to, instead of people who are actually trying to satisfy a hunger or get a great meal, they're converting people into discount junkies. Right? So it's, okay, what? Where's the deal? Where's the deal? Where's the deal? Where's the deal? And that's exactly what's happening. And then people are only ordering where they get the best optimum amount of deal. So it's up to 100 rupees off for up to 300 rupees, up to 50% off, up to 100 rupees. Right? I mean, those are the kind of deals that you're seeing on these aggregator platforms. I don't know what that. What does up to 50% off, up to 100 rupees mean? Like, you know, it doesn't make any sense. That means it's a 50 rupee discount. Just say a 50 rupee discount, right? But then a customer will, okay, go and say, okay, I'm going to order something for 150 rupees. That way I get a 25%.
Right.
So then it becomes about that. And really, it's not about ordering food and getting a great meal. It's about who can beat the system, in a sense.
Absolutely. And as somebody who does use these platforms, and I'm sure I say this on behalf of most of us who do this, that it is psychologically what we end up doing, because you're trying to make the cut to be, you know, eligible for a deal that you want to get. Yes. So while that is one side of things, what you mentioned is that while, you know, these transactions are driving up volumes for the restaurant industry per se, the individual restaurant is not necessarily benefiting from this. Now, to switch this up, what you would need is to also, you know, maybe make the customer more aware. You will need a far larger outreach, you know, than you would get typically if you're not on these platforms. How are you balancing the two right now? Because you sort of need to be on the platform, you know, to reach people who would perhaps not make the effort, you know, to look a restaurant up. And perhaps for smaller restaurants, especially who do not have, you know, the branding or the digital presence, you know, to attract customers, how should they navigate this space?
That's an excellent question, Alisha. I think, like I said before, we are not against the aggregators. We are against the tyranny of the aggregators. Again, I think aggregators are performing a very useful service of discovery, right? Where they can get a restaurant discovered. Especially, I don't think it's a small restaurant versus a big restaurant. I think it's more about a new restaurant versus an old restaurant.
Sure. Correct. Yes.
A new restaurant which has just come, but just been born. A new entrepreneur who's just come into the field with, you know, with, of course, a lot of people have dreams of coming in the restaurant business because it is a very satisfying business. So there's a lot of new people coming in, a lot of people with limited capital coming in and opening up dark kitchens. So for those people, aggregators become very, very important, and their survival literally depends on the aggregator's algorithm. And I think the aggregators are aware of this, and they do extract their pound of flesh. So we say that, yes, you know, if discovery is your intention, please by all means get discovered on an aggregator platform. But once you have been discovered, try and build a direct relationship, right? Which means that at that point of time, you should be able to build a direct relationship. Because the aggregator's role is of helping you find your favorite restaurant, right? If you remember, they started off as a directory service, and everything else they came on, it came on as a value add. Okay, this is a directory service. Okay, but if you'd like to order, here's the interface to order. Hey, if you want the delivery, here is the delivery that we'll give you. But now they refuse to unbundle these services. So in case discovery, ordering, payment, all has to be on that same gateway, and that's a take it or leave it kind of a policy. Right? Mm-hmm. So they have almost become our digital landlords in a sense, and we have almost become a faceless service for them, right? So, and this domination needs to be checked, and because at the end of the day, you are not ordering a commodity. It's not an FMCG product. There's a soul and a personality that a restauranter puts into his food. Or her food. There's a brand. There's so much more that a value add that a restaurant brings to the customer. So we are trying to prevent this from happening. So by all means, get discovered on an aggregator platform, but don't forget to build a direct relationship. That is our message to a restaurant.
That seems fair. Riaz, as we speak, the restaurants that you operate under your various brands, do you continue to list on these platforms?
Yes, absolutely. We continue to list on these platforms, and we look forward to growing our business on these platforms as well. However, we also want to grow the business on the direct order platform. And there's enough technology available now. There are enough technology providers such as DotPay or Thrive and a few others who are actually creating a tech stack to make the experience seamless for the customer. There are enough third-party last-mile delivery companies now. There's ShadowFax, Dunzo, Delivery. So in a sense, there's now a perfect storm for a restauranter to explore the order direct mechanism. So this is one of the several channels that we want to cultivate over the next few years. And we also want this to be so that we can prevent the complete hegemony that this could potentially lead over the restaurant industry. So it is always nice to create an alternative. It's not binary. It's not order direct or aggregator. They both have a place, and both should coexist.
Right. So as I understand then, Riaz, from the restaurant's body perspective, no restaurants being encouraged per se to delist from these platforms. Is that right?
Not at all. Our intent was not to. See, I think that we don't have an issue with aggregators. Again, I'm saying.
Sure.
The last time we had an issue with aggregators, that was against the deep discounting mentality. We didn't have an issue with the aggregators. We had an issue with their certain programs which were encouraging really deep discounting. We were against deep discounting. This time, we are not against the aggregators. We are against data masking and data withholding. Right? So again, sure. We are against certain policies that they develop unilaterally. And this is where NRAI and the rest of the restaurant bodies stand up to protect the rights of the small restaurant.
Correct. Riaz, now, as a customer and for a customer, I think there is, a lack of transparency on that side as well. While restaurants don't really get to discover their customers as well, customers also don't really know what part of what they are ending up paying actually ends up with the restaurant. You're saying 40% of, a restaurant's top line typically goes in these commissions and expenses for these platforms. So to break it down to a customer, let's say, accounting for the discount, delivery costs, etc., how much is the restaurant really making from a typical order and how much is actually going to these platforms? If there is like a simple math at all, that you could, come up with just so that the customer understands what the breakdown looks like.
So the spend of a restaurateur on an aggregator platform consists of three different things. Right? The first aspect is the discovery aspect. So the discovery aspect would be if I type cuisine on the aggregator, let's say I'm looking for biryani, what are the top 10 that show up? Right? That algorithm is still opaque. We still don't know how it works. But if you spend enough with the aggregators, your name is bumped up significantly higher.
Right.
So that is the discovery. If you want to, to be featured in some of their collections or their categories, it's a paid service. So typically a restaurant lands up spending about 8 to 9% of their top line in terms of advertising on these platforms. So that is the discovery aspect. Then there's the delivery charge, which a restaurateur charges. They charge about 22%. Up to 22%. So you add that 8% to this 22%, you got about 30. And then there's the discounting, right? So you have to pass on discounts to the customers, which the aggregator is not paying for. But the aggregator makes sure that you do not show up top if you don't give discounts. So you're actually forced to give discounts. So the aggregator doesn't pay for discounts, the restaurant pays for discounts. So that's another 10% also. So that 22, 8, and another 10 leads to about 40-42% of your top line going straight to the aggregator. So there's no way a restaurateur can make money with that, because you look at a typical delivery kitchen would look at cost of goods at about 45-50% of the selling price. Then you have overheads such as electricity, rental, salary costs of the talented chefs and the servers. So that amounts to about 30%. So already we are at 80%. So every time you order from an aggregator app, we go in the hole about 20%.
Right. I do hope that message actually gets across to, patrons as well, so that they are in a place to make, decisions also from a place of awareness. Now, the other side of this is that, when we sat down to talk last time, which was last year, you were talking about how you're also retraining your staff, servers, etc., bartenders, for instance, in your restaurants to actually do multiple roles, to also do deliveries, for instance. So you also need resources as a restaurant to be able to fulfill all the orders that you get if their customers are ordering directly. You mentioned that you work with third party, services also to do this, but does this also help, sort of retain the employees that you currently have and, ensure that there is sustained sort of work for them to also do when they undertake deliveries and you get orders directly?
Absolutely, Alicia. Every time a customer orders directly, we are able to retain some of our waiting staff. So while the kitchen staff is secured because they're preparing the food, what happens to all the waiting staff, right? The same people who we are hoping, the same people who are bringing food from the kitchen to your table now will bring you food from the kitchen to your home with the same loving care and attention. And every time a customer orders directly, that's one more job that they've actually helped save, because we do want to utilize our own staff for deliveries for two reasons. One is that we can trust them that they will get the food across in a safe and hygienic manner. And second, we would want to save as many jobs in the hospitality industry as we can. And direct ordering is one great way of actually saving a restaurant job. So if you have a favorite server in your favorite restaurant, make sure you call them up and say, I want that guy to bring me my food.
Indeed. That, I mean, you've emphasized this a lot already, but it is a critical aspect of, you know, hospitality, that you're able to have these interactions with the people at the restaurants that you actually love. And given the times we're in, perhaps that will be one way to ensure that continues to happen. Riaz, lastly, I want to talk to you about how restaurants also are working on developing a technical and, you know, technological expertise to ensure that, you know, digital marketing. For instance, there was a boot camp that the NRAI was hosting, and you were speaking there about digital marketing and, you know, just equipping yourselves with these tools to ensure that you have the technical wherewithal to attract customers and, you know, ensure that this process becomes seamless for them. So at this time, what are some of the applications which are supporting you, firstly? And secondly, how is that process also shaping up? And what is the NRAI, for instance, doing to ensure that restaurants are more technologically equipped?
So Isha, I think a part of what NRAI does is restaurant education. And boot camps is our way of reaching out to as many restaurants and trying to give them the benefit of experiences that other restaurateurs have. It's kind of a, you know, knowledge dissemination that restaurateurs do. We have in the last 3 days we've conducted three boot camps. The first one was by a technology stack called Thrive, which again provides the entire technology stack from a customer's perspective. That includes WhatsApp, web links, mobile phone ordering, QR code scanning, payment gateway, tying up with delivery partners. DotPay has been doing some amazing work on that. So we have a lot of partners providing us with amazing technology, which is not expensive. You actually pay per transaction. So it becomes much cheaper for a restaurant to utilize these services. It is a software as a service. And then we have all these other third-party delivery guys. So we have been able to utilize this tech stack between three or four different service providers and stitch them up so that the customer gets a seamless experience. And so the customer doesn't care about what's happening in the back. Yeah. The customer sees the phone, presses a button, expects a meal at the best price and as quickly as possible. So to stitch all of that up, that's where now we want restaurateurs to do some work. And while all the service providers are available, we are encouraging restaurateurs not to get lazy and spend some time developing these skills and this skill set, because, you know, a restaurateur has to do many things. He has to do manufacturing, he has to do selling, right. He has to manage statutory law. There's one more thing added to his already overloaded bucket. However, I think that it is imperative, and the future of restaurants depends on their ability to actually incorporate this one more skill, which is technology, into their service stack. Because typically restaurants have always been a face-to-face human interaction business, not so dependent on technology. However, as the aggregators have shown us, technology is really, really important everywhere. And we thank them for that. And now we want to incorporate our own technology.
All right. So great perspective there as always, Riaz. But, you know, to wrap things up, I must ask you, it's difficult, of course, to give any sort of outlook for future business right now. But, you know, a year later and now things are pretty much back to the same standstill as they were. What have your learnings been in this time now that you see that, you know, it's an unpredictable sort of a situation? We hope that it doesn't, but it's possible that it may present itself again. do you find yourselves better equipped to deal with a situation like that now, and also pivot your business, you know, to a more delivery oriented space? And is that going to be a continued emphasis as you go forward?
That's an interesting question again, Alicia. Definitely, the first time the pandemic hit, it brought into very sharp relief how important delivery was, because that was the only source of income. However, what we also realized, while delivery was the only source of income, there was no way to make money out of it. It gave us something to do. It gave us something to occupy our time and our minds, but it didn't really put bread on our table. So we did have a time. And then once customers' confidence started coming back after the lockdown started getting lifted in 3 or 4 months, we saw business booming back. Right? So customer confidence came running back. And then we all got distracted. And we forgot about delivery, and we focused more on dining in. And the second wave has again brought into sharp relief that delivery is important. And again, we are focusing on delivery. But, you know, at the end of the day, these two are separate businesses, right? The delivery at home business is a separate business model than a dine-in, where customers are actually coming out to you. You often think of them as competing with each other, but the fact of the matter is that you cannot replace the human need to go out and be social. That is not something that's going to go away. Nobody is ever going to say, hey, it's my anniversary, let's not go out. Or, hey, it's my birthday. Yeah. I mean, you could do that as an exception, but most of the time you want to go out. Nobody's going to say, hey, listen, I don't want to feel like meeting my friends anymore. These are places, I don't want to dance anymore. I don't want to go and listen to some great music anymore. This is not going to go away. So it's a separate business. Delivery business is replacing your home kitchen. It's a labor arbitrage. It's a little daily reward that you can give yourself. And it's a different business. I think these two businesses will evolve parallelly and benefit from each other and not be at the cost or peril of each other. So these are two separate streams. And we are encouraging restaurants to think of them as separate streams and businesses. Okay. Because your setup, your DNA changes a little bit. You're dealing in food, but you're serving a different purpose.
Correct. So like you said, you know how people are viewing deliveries as their day off from the kitchen. Is that something that you're actually seeing happen in big numbers now? I mean, since we have you, I might as well actually ask you what, you know, business is also like at the moment. The apprehension people had suddenly, you know, there was this sharp dip in sentiment and everyone was just extremely scared all of a sudden again. Has that started to wean off? And are people willing to do those, you know, DIY kits again at home? Because these are sentiment driven things. So is that, you know, is that coming back, or do you see this happen?
I think that this time around, the sentiment around deliveries was actually a lot better. Because while, you know, we figure out that going out and the virus is way more transmittable, there's absolutely no evidence to prove that you could actually contract this disease via parcels or thing coming in and out of your home. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and they've also figured out the protocol. They understand that things need to be sanitized. They understand that you need to sanitize your hands after you bring in a parcel. So all those things have been kind of become, it's almost become a playbook. Right? So, and honestly, is those little things that come home to you is what's sustaining you through this crazy period, right? That little joy of that little treat that just helps you get through your day a little bit better. So I think that deliveries have grown. The sentiment around delivery is positive. And we also know that once the lockdown eases, we know that the customer confidence will come back rather quickly. Because in the past also, there have been no events linked to restaurants. There's no been any scientific evidence against that. So we are pretty sure that both businesses will continue to grow very robustly. This little blip notwithstanding.
Right. I definitely hope that is the case. One can only relate all too well to the fact that the basic need, you know, to want to go out, be sociable, meet people, eat out is never going to go away. And the blip notwithstanding, we hope that sort of exuberance comes back. sooner than later. And I hope that your conversations with these aggregator platforms also yield fruitful results. And the campaign that you're currently on about ordering direct also yields the results that you're expecting it to, and customers start to also see it for what it is. Thank you so much for your time, Riyaz. Always a pleasure speaking to you.
Such a pleasure, Alisha. Thank you so much.
That was Riyaz Imlani on how restaurants are taking this moment to leap ahead with technology initiatives focused on making food deliveries personalized for the customers and profitable for the restaurant. This was a CNBC TV 18 special podcast. Thanks for tuning in.